Let's open up our word yet again to Luke chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 17 through 26. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That again is Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And when the scribes and Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." The title for our sermon this morning is, "There is enough room." Let's pray. Lord, we're asking that you would come and be with us. You've been with us ever since we woke up this morning, O Lord. Holy Spirit, you've been leading us and guiding us, and that's why we're here in this place, to look to you, O God, to worship you. We're asking now that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I am but your humble servant. Speak through me. You have a message for your people today. Allow them to hear your word, O God, and allow us to be connected in you and glorify you for the things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's always awesome to pick up your Bible, to flip through the Gospels, and to get to a place where you see Jesus using his powers to heal. It's always nice to see Jesus heal someone that is in need. And as a community, that's one of the reasons that we have decided to come together. That's why we're here on Sabbath, because we have seen Jesus' power, and we believe that he has the power to heal. We believe that Jesus has the power to forgive. But when I read through the story and I begin to think about the point of the story, my question for me became, do I believe that Jesus will heal me? I believe that Jesus has the power to heal. I believe that Jesus has the power to forgive. But will Jesus forgive me? When we look at this story, we find our main character, the paralyzed man. This man is not lame. It's not that his legs aren't working. He's not crippled. It's not that his arms don't work. It's everything. He can't move from his neck down. And because of that, he's stuck in a bed for his whole life. When you read through this text and you read the Bible and you see how the Bible actually describes him being paralyzed, in the Greek, the word paralyzed is used in the perfect tense. What that means is that at a certain point in time, this man became paralyzed. In other words, there was a point in this man's life where he could walk. There was a point in this man's life where he could move, where he could lift things, where he was free and independent. But something happened in this man's life that caused him to be paralyzed. And now the Bible is focusing on the effects of that paralysis. So where this man was once free to roam the world, he is now a prisoner in his own body. Where he was once independent, able to do whatever it is that his heart desired, he is now a slave, chained to his bed. He can no longer do what it is that he wants. The things that he thought were basic things that you could do in life, he can no longer do. He can't get up and walk. He can't wash himself. He can't lift a pencil. He can't even use the bathroom on his own. He now needs the help of someone, whether it's in his family or his friends, to do absolutely everything for him. He's dirty. He stinks. And where he was once proud, he now lives a life that is full of shame. But you see, this man is not only in need of a physical healing, but he's in need of a spiritual healing. You see, he believes that this paralysis comes as a result of some sin that he has done in his life. You see, in the Talmud, which is just a religious book that the Jews would read, there's a law. And the law says that if a man is on his sickbed, he will never rise from that sickbed unless he is forgiven of all of these sins. So this man, he's not lame. He's not sick. He's paralyzed and laying in a bed wallowing in his sins, knowing that he cannot move because of the things that he has done wrong. There's one writer that says that he's gone to Pharisees and he's gone to scribes and different teachers of the law, and he's tried to get some kind of peace with God. He's asked them if they could go to God for him, seeing as how he can't make it to the temple, and if they would ask God on his behalf for forgiveness. But because this man is so sinful, because they recognize that he's paralyzed because of his sins, they won't go. They want nothing to do with him. And so he has to sit, unable to move, and wallow in his sins. Is this us? Is this who we are? Yeah, we're here at church. It's Sabbath. That's great. We're here sitting among other believers. That's wonderful. I'm sure when you walked into the door, someone said, "Happy Sabbath. How are you doing?" And what you did is you painted a smile on your face and said, "I'm doing just fine. I'm okay." When really inside, you're a prisoner to your own sins. You're a slave to your guilt. You can't outrun the things that you've done. Your past seems to continually catch up with you. And because you cannot get over the things that you've done, it begins to affect your life. It begins to affect you on your job. It begins to affect you in your relationships. It begins to affect your family. And so now inside you're stuck. You're paralyzed. You can't move forward. Maybe you've heard of Jesus, just like this man. This man was living in Capernaum. And when you read Luke and you go through the end of chapter 4 and you get to the beginning of chapter 5, you see that Jesus was in Capernaum at this time doing some amazing things. Jesus is going around healing the sick. Jesus is going around casting out demons. Jesus is going around cleansing lepers. I'm sure he heard of this, but did he believe that Jesus would do that for him? When you come to this place, when you come to church, and you see the friends that you have that are here, and you see them living a life of freedom, and you see them proclaiming that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins, and they're living a life that's free, do you believe that Jesus can do the same thing for you? I'm sure this man thought, this carpenter can't forgive me of what I've done. Is that you? Do you really believe that Jesus can't forgive you of what it is that you've done? Do you think that Jesus isn't strong enough, doesn't have enough power to remove from your life those things that are weighing on you, that are holding you down, that are making you prisoner? Well, look, I'm here to tell you this morning that there is hope for you. That if this is your story, if your story is the same as this paralyzed man who feels like he can't move on because of his sins, I'm here to tell you that Jesus can and will forgive you of your sins. There's a reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he came to this earth to set the sinners free. And when we look at this story, when we look at Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, we can not only see that Jesus has the ability to forgive us of our sins, but that he will and that he'll give us a life that is new, and so that we can walk forward in freedom. When we look at this text, we'll start at about verse 18. It says, "And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus." Now look at this. There are these men, more than likely friends of this paralyzed man. And according to the Bible, they are the ones that bring the man to Jesus. It says they were the ones that were seeking Jesus to heal him. It doesn't say anything about the man himself wanting to get to Christ. You see, the man did not have the faith to believe that Jesus could heal him, but he had surrounded himself with people that believed that Jesus would heal him. This man surrounded himself with people that did not care about the condition of the man. They did not care that this man might have had some sin that was so egregious that they should stay away from him. No, they cared that this man wanted to be healed. And these men were willing to do whatever it took to get this man the healing that he so desperately desired. So without even asking him, they came to him, picked up his bed, and took him to Jesus. If this is your story, you have got to surround yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ that will take you to the place that you need to be. When you come to this building and you come to church and you find people that are trying to push you down, when you find people that are trying to judge you because of your sins, you see, those are the people that are standing in the crowd, standing in the way of you getting to Christ. All they're here for is to hear some words. What you've got to do is get yourself some people that don't care about what it is that you've done. You've got to surround yourself with people that don't care who you are, but you've got to surround yourself with people that love you so much that when your faith is gone, they'll take their faith and place it on you and give you the strength to make it to Jesus Christ. What I love about this is that when they see that the way is blocked by these people, when they see that the way is blocked by these naysayers, these people that don't want to get them, that don't want him to get to Christ, they make a way that is not there. They make a way out of no way. you see, this house that Jesus is in, it's actually Peter's house. There might have been some steps that led to the roof, and there might not have been. So what they might have had to do was find some sticks and find some strings and put a ladder together so that they could climb to the roof. And when they got to the roof and they looked down and they saw the tiles that were on the floor, they had to get down on their knees and dig through the roof so that their friend could get to Christ. You see, what you've got to do with these friends that you surround yourself with, they've got to be willing to get on their knees and pray to God for you and pray each and every day and dig through that barrier that is keeping you from Jesus Christ and keep on praying and keep on digging until there is a hole large enough in that barrier to get you down to Jesus Christ, because you might not believe there is enough room, but you see, those friends that you have surrounded yourself with, they know that at the feet of Jesus there is always enough room. So you surrounded yourself by these friends. They are relentless in getting you to Christ. And notice what Christ does when we get to verse 20. It says, and when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. When he saw their faith, he forgave the man of his sins. You see, again, the man had no faith. He did not believe that Jesus could heal him, but because of his friends, because of the faithful few that were willing to do whatever it is that they needed to get him to Christ, because they didn't just have the faith, but because they acted on their faith to get the man to Jesus, Jesus forgave the man of his sins. Now look, maybe the paralyzed man isn't you, but if the paralyzed man isn't you, you need to be one of the friends. You've got to be the one that's willing to get to the roof for somebody and break a wall down to get them to Jesus Christ. Because of your faith, someone else could be forgiven. Someone else could be healed. So don't give up. Don't give in. If you see barriers, make your own way. Jesus will be there. And when you make it to Christ, there will be enough room. Now, check this out. When Jesus forgives the man of his sins, notice Jesus doesn't say anything to the man. He doesn't say, well, why are you here? What is it that you've done? What is it that you want me to do for you? No. As soon as Jesus saw the man lowered down to his feet, he automatically said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, check this out. Remember when I said that this man, the Bible describes him as being paralyzed. And this word paralyzed is in the perfect tense. When Jesus says, man, your sins, plural, are forgiven you, he says forgive in the perfect tense. That means that when Jesus spoke that forgiveness into his life, that forgiveness went back to the place where the man sinned. What happened was that sin that man had done was totally wiped away. So now while he was living a life full of paralyzation and shame and guilt, Jesus says, no, I'm going to take that sin, wipe it away, and now your life is one of freedom. Your life is one of independence, and I release you from your guilt. I release you from your sin, and now your life that you thought was dirty is righteous. Now, wait a minute. Do I believe that when Jesus forgives me of my sins, that he forgives me of all of my sins? Because according to this text, again, this is perfect tense, but also plural. So if there were some sins that he might have made along the way that maybe he didn't know about, or maybe he did know about, doesn't matter. Jesus said, I'm wiping all of this away. Now, this man was also nervous when coming to Christ because he knew how good Christ was and how dirty he was. But when Jesus said, I forgive you, it automatically made him worthy. You see, sometimes the reason that we don't want to come to Christ ourselves is because we ourselves feel like we're unworthy.
We ourselves feel like we're too dirty, we're too stinky. Our sins have cluttered us up so much that Jesus would never accept us. But remember, there's always room at the feet of Jesus. It is not you that makes you worthy. It is Jesus that makes you worthy. It's not up to you if you can be forgiven. It's only up to God. And believe me, He wants to forgive. When we look at the text, look back at verse 17. The very beginning, it says, on one of those days, he was teaching. One of those days. Go back to chapter 4. At the end of chapter 4, Jesus has started healing while he's in Capernaum. So when this says, one of those days, it wasn't just any day. This was one of the days that Jesus was healing. So on this day, as he was teaching, he was talking to Pharisees and scribes of the law that come from everywhere. But it says that the power of the Lord was with him to heal. So Jesus was in this place, just sitting, waiting. He was probably looking around, waiting for that paralyzed man to show up with his friends, because he wasn't there to teach that day. He wasn't there to preach that day. Jesus was there to heal on that day. When we come to church on Sabbath, do we realize what the purpose of Christ is? Jesus' purpose is not just to give you a good word. His purpose is not just so that you can come to church, hear a wonderful song, fall asleep during the prayer, and then go home feeling a little bit happy. No! Christ's purpose is for you to come to this place so that you can receive your healing. The life out there, the world out there has beat you up, it's drug you through the mud, and so now you have come to this place, to the feet of Jesus, where there's enough room so that he can heal you. So that he can take those sins and forgive you of everything that you have done, so you can walk in newness of life. So we keep going through the text, and these haters, the naysayers, the folk that don't want you to move forward, they don't really go away. They still kind of hang around. And what happens is they start to question Jesus. They say, what blasphemies is this man speaking? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now watch. If that is you, you've got a problem. This community that we have put together here at Tacoma Park, well, I shouldn't say that we put together, that God put together. This is his community. It's not here to push people away. Because when you push people away, you are saying to Jesus, you don't have the power to forgive this person of their sins. When you start judging folk before they even come through the door, when you start staring people down while they're sitting in the pews because of some life that they're living, because they have some lifestyle that you don't agree with, when you look at them and you think to yourself, oh, your sins are too great, what you're really saying to Jesus Christ is, you don't have the power to forgive this person of their sins. Now, check this out. Jesus has a very interesting response. Jesus says, and he reads their hearts, just like he read the hearts of the paralyzed man, he read their hearts. He says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? Now, neither one of them is easy. You can't forgive you of your sins. You can't cause yourself to rise up and walk. They're both impossible. Then he says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, rise and walk. Now, when the Pharisees and the scribes of the law said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Again, going back to Greek, the word can should really be replaced with ability. Who has the ability? Who has the power to forgive sins but God? The word in Greek is dunamai. The ability to, the power to. Jesus says, so that you will know that the Son of Man has, in this text, authority. In Greek, it's also another word for power. But you see, this word in Greek is exousia. That means that not only does God have the ability, not only does Jesus have the ability, but he has the authority to forgive those sins. Let me explain. If you have a Dodge Charger, yes, amen. The car can go from 0 to 60 in 6 seconds flat. But you see, if someone isn't driving the car goes nowhere. So the car has the ability, but the car does not have the authority. Let me make another example. LeBron James. We all know King James. When LeBron gets on the court, he can do anything and everything he wants to do with that basketball. LeBron's got the ability. But if the coach says, I want you to sit a few plays out, LeBron can do nothing. So LeBron has the ability, but LeBron has no authority. You see, what Jesus Christ was saying is that I have the ability to heal, but I don't need any help. I don't need any permission. I don't need someone to get into my driver's seat and steer for me. I don't need a coach to tell me when I can get on the court and play. I have the ability and I have the authority to act when I need to act, because I am, like it says, the Son of Man. I am the Messiah. I am the King of Kings. I am the Prince of Peace. I am Emmanuel, God with us. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am your protection. I am your shelter. I am your healing. I am your fence. I am your savior. I am the creator of this world. I am the word of God, but I am on your side. And my power now goes to you because I have the ability and I have the authority to give it. There's a reason that we go to Jesus Christ. There's a reason that those men took him to the feet of Jesus, because Jesus had the ability and the authority not only to heal the man of his paralysis, but to forgive him of his sins. And it is Jesus Christ who can do the same thing for you. So Jesus says, nah, I've got the ability, but I also have the authority. So he turned to the man and said, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. He didn't just say walk. He said, go home. So you see, back when we get back to Jesus forgiving the man, again, that forgive was a perfect tense word. So it's something, an action that happened, and the results of that forgiveness are now moving into the present. So when Jesus told the man, I forgive you of your sins, something happened in the man's body. You see, when his mind was freed, his body was now free. So you see, the power that he had lost, it all came back. So while Jesus was dealing with some folk that didn't want to see anything happen, I figure that the paralyzed man must have been laying there and started wiggling a few fingers. I think that while he was laying there, he started wiggling a few toes, because when Jesus forgave him, his faith went from this to this. And now he could feel his body following the acts of Christ's forgiveness. So when Jesus said, rise, pick up your bed, and go home, the Bible says that he got up immediately. There was no pause. There was no hesitation. He stood up and moved all on his own. Now, it is important to note that he did this on his own. His friends were not there to pick him up. His friends were not there to help him stand. His friends were not kneeling down trying to convince him that he could get up. He did it by himself. Now, we are a community. We come together. We help each other. We move each other. We help each other get to Christ. But when it comes to the ultimate decision, that's on you. When you're forgiven of your sins, and Jesus wants to move you to the next level in your spiritual walk with him, that's all you. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus has given you the power to do exactly that. Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. He's given you the freedom that you need to move about freely. There's no reason to feel like you're pushed down. There's no reason to feel like you're pushed out. Jesus has given you his power, and he's forgiven you. You see, what Jesus Christ did for you is he gave his life for you. He came down to this planet and gave his life to pay a debt that you owed, so that legally, in the eyes of God, you could be forgiven of your sins, so that you could get up And not just walk around the room, but take that new life home. Now think about this for a second. Jesus tells the man to get up and walk, get up and go home, excuse me. So the man gets up. He hasn't walked in years, but he doesn't just get up. Remember, he was paralyzed, nothing from the neck down. He was able to bend down. He was able to use his arms. And that thing that was chaining him down, he was able to pick it up, use his own strength, put that thing on his shoulder, and walk home, glorifying God. You see, if you've got problems in your life because of what things that you have done, when Jesus Christ forgives you, you can pick up those problems, put them on your back, and go on home. You see, the purpose of him going home was so that his family could see him. You got to remember, this man was paralyzed, could do nothing. When he left his home, he was on a bed, but he came back home carrying his sick bed on his shoulders, glorifying God. When God heals you of your infirmities, when he forgives you of your sins, and you see the things that you can now do because you're free, you got to give God some glory. You got to give God some praise. You've got to tell the Lord that saved you, that has made you whole, that you love him, that you glorify him for what it is that he's done. This word glory, it's doxia. There's a song that we sing called the doxology. And what does that song say? Yeah, that's right. You praise God. You praise the God on high because he's the only one who could have done this thing for you. And when you think about what God did for you, you get to sing a new song yourself. Because you see, there was enough room for you. You were trying to get to Christ. There were people that were blocking your path, saying that you couldn't make it. But there was room for you. There was a barrier of your own sins that was keeping you from God. But you had some friends that helped you dig through the muck and get through the mess. And when you finally were able to make it to Christ, there was room. When you felt like you couldn't make it any further, when you felt like your sins and problems were so great that no one could manage it, you made it to Jesus Christ. And there was room. I'm here to tell you today that if you're suffering from this paralysis of the heart, that there is someone that we know that has room for you at his feet. He won't reject you. He won't turn you away. He won't make you feel less than a person. He won't make you feel less than human. In fact, he'll make you feel like you're his child. A child of God, there's room for you. I have an appeal for us today, and that appeal comes in two parts. The first thing I want us to do is to remember what we said about those that actually helped. Those friends that carried that paralyzed man and brought him to Christ. My first appeal is for those of us who are not feeling like we're paralyzed, and we feel like Christ has forgiven us. We've accepted his power and we're now walking freely. I want us to help those who feel paralyzed to get to Christ. I want us to be able to help someone who feels like there is no room, to help them to know that there is. If this is you, I want you to stand. I understand that everybody's not going to stand, and that's fine. If this is not something that you're willing to do, it's okay. Don't stand. But for those of you that feel like you're in a good place and that you can help someone else make it to Jesus Christ, I want you to stand.
Now, my second appeal is going to be a little more serious. Because there are still those of us that are in this room that feel like we can't make it ourselves. There are those of us that are in this room that feel like because of our sins, we can't move forward. We feel like we're so dirty and so messed up that Jesus would have nothing to do with us. But remember what this story said. Not only does he have the ability to forgive you of your sins, but he has the authority to forgive you. And according to that text, he's here this morning to do just that. If that is you, I will also ask you to stand. If that is how you are feeling today, stand. It's okay. I'm saying that because there's room. I'm saying that because I was there too. And it's okay. It's okay to feel that way. You see, the other people that are standing around, these are people that are standing and willing to support you, to bring you to Jesus Christ. If you are someone that stood for the second part of that appeal, I'm asking that someone who is near you that stood for that first appeal would bring you down to the front. We want to show the people that stood that there is room. There's room at the feet of Jesus. As we have our appeal song played, I'm going to let that sit. And again, if you feel like you need to come to the front, I'm asking someone to grab that person's hand and bring them down. Let them know that it's okay. Let them know that Christ accepts them just as they are. Bring them down. Y'all, I don't like talking in this moment because this isn't my work. This is the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to let it sit a little bit longer and let the Spirit do his work. It's okay. It's all right. Jesus loves you so much. It's okay. Going to go ahead and pray. But if you felt like you needed to come down and you didn't, this is not it. This isn't over. You take that feeling home. You take it to Jesus Christ. We'd love to have you here. We'd love for you to come down to the front. But it's not over. Christ hasn't given up on you. Don't think of this as a closing of the door, but as an extending of your new story. And this prayer that I pray, it's for you too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for being who you are. We thank you for being a God that hears our cries, a God that knows our hearts, a God that feels our pains, Lord, a God that knows our sins.
But Lord, more importantly than that, we thank you so much for being a God who is willing and able to forgive us of those sins. There are things that we've done in our lives, oh Lord, that we are not proud of. There are lives that we have led that we don't want to speak out loud. But Lord, we feel you moving in our hearts now. We know, oh God, that you've seen what we've done, and we thank you for accepting us anyway. We are opening our hearts to you now, oh God, and we're giving you the deepest parts of ourselves. We're asking for healing. We're asking for forgiveness. We're asking, Lord, that you'll help us to move past these barriers and these things that have been holding us back and holding us down. We're tired of being prisoners. We want to be free. But Lord, after reading your word, we know that you have set us free. And we claim that in your name. Help us to walk in that newness of life, oh God. Help us to continue on in that path. Help us to live a life that is free, but free in you. We cling to your garments, oh God. And we thank you so much for making a space just for us. Bless us now, oh God, as we continue on in our lives and as we have begun a new chapter in you. In Jesus' name, amen.